sexy young.
Tim Hasselbeck brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and BetUS.com. Cash in on all your favorites. Sign up at BetUS.com. Use promo code 1025 for up to 200% sign-on bonus. Back here, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Let's say hello to our friend Tim Hasselbeck. Timmy, how are you?
Doing well. How are you guys?
You know, we are fantastic. D-Mace has watched film last night. He rewatched the Titans game. He's been very fired up all morning, so I'm just going to warn you ahead of time about some things that he has seen with the Titans tape.
Okay. I mean, he's usually so positive, so this would be really out of character.
So what is kind of your takeaway when you look at this offense? And it's well documented. The Derrick Henry's coming off a pretty big injury. A.J. Brown's not here anymore. You have Treylon Burks, Kyle Phillips, two rookies. You've brought in Robert Woods. A lot of changes on offense. But when you look at the game on Sunday and the loss to the Giants, what do you see from a play-calling standpoint from Todd Downing?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say this. Like, I'm trying to, just like the preseason, not to, like, go crazy after 1 week, especially when, you know, a lot of guys, you know, it's not the way preseason used to be. And so there are young players, as you mentioned, that are now playing in a different environment. There are veteran players that didn't play in the preseason that were playing. And, you know, like in some way, like if you look at like the Green Bay situation, you know, how they played week one, how Green Bay played week one last year. Like, you know, I don't want to be in a scenario where it's like, you know, I feel like I know exactly, you know, who the Tennessee Titans are on offense, you know, after 1 week. So I do think, like, you can improve. I think roles can change. I think young players can play better. So, you know, like, what did I think? Look, I think they look similar to the way they've looked in the past. I think there's a lot of similarities in terms of what they looked like offensively in the past. You know, the personnel is different. And so, and I think with that, you know, some things that maybe turned into big plays before with A.J. Brown, you know, did not this past week. So, look, that's my initial reaction after 1 week. And, like, I think there'll be better days for Derrick Henry. I think there'll be better days for Ryan Tannehill. I think we'll see bigger plays out of Treylon Burks. And so, you know, I just, you know, that's my sentiment of it. And then I would also say this. I think the Giants, you know, are a little bit better team than they were last year. Maybe, yeah, they're a better team than they were last year. They did some unique things running the quarterback. Saquon looked like a totally different player. And so, you know, I think part of that was, you know, part of what played out in the game.
Can you explain to me why Denver decides with three timeouts and Russell Wilson on the field at 4th and 5, then the percentages would tell you that he could probably convert that they decide to kick a 64-yard field goal?
Yeah, that one's surprising to me because of the distance. I mean, look, a 45-yard field goal, like, that's a different story, you know? Even a 54-yard field goal, you know, you maybe say, okay, like, I can understand that, but yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. I think some of the game management late in terms of, you know, usage of timeouts or not using, you know, your timeouts surprised me. You know, I'm sure that Denver's going to look back at some of it and say, look, you know, they've got a red zone turnover or, you know, some errors in the red zone and the game should have never come down to that. I mean, I'm sure that that's how they will look at it, but you know, with a chance late, with, you know, a quarterback that's very accomplished and the, you know, unlikelihood that you'll hit a 64-yard field goal, that one, I was shaking my head. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a 63-yard field goal is the longest game winner ever in the history of the NFL.
66 by Justin Tucker.
66?
All right,
well, there you go.
That's all time. And that's Justin Tucker, but that's the all time. They put a stat up on ESPN.
That's what I mean.
2 for 29. Kickers are 2 for 29 in 64 more yards attempts, period. 2 for 29 ever. 7%.
Yeah, that's not good.
I guess Hackett thought it was going to be good.
Well, and in his career, Russell Wilson at 4th and 5 or less in the fourth quarter has a 68.8 conversion percentage, and then the percentage of a 64 or more yard field goal being made in the last 30 years is 6.1%.
Yeah, and McManus, I think they put up, was 1 for 8 in 60-plus yarders. So that's, you know, come on.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, we have been discussing also along with the offensive coordinator. I'm not on here saying I want to fire him, but I do hope this offense within the next couple of weeks starts to pick up steam. But these packages that they're throwing out here, and as a former quarterback, do you ever look at a situation and say, okay, this package we have, I know this is the personnel that we want, but we need to have one of our playmakers in the game. I know this guy does some things well on the outside. He may block well, but in order for this play to work at this particular time, I think it would be better to have, say, a Treylon Burks in the game or Robert Woods in the game instead of like your 4th or 5th wide receiver lined up outside.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? Every coach I talk to, you know, especially early in the season, I'll be like, you know, I thought some guys got, you know, tired, or we should have played, you know, we should have given a guy, you know, a couple snaps off, you know, or it just seems to be like a common theme. Like, hey, we want to play more guys. And then there's also an element of, like, when you have young players, and, like, you may know this, like, you're like, all right, like, hey, regular and 3 wides, like, hey, Treylon, like, you're in the game, right? You're a starter in that. But, like, hey, when we're in, you know, you personnel and short yardage and stuff, like, we're actually, like, we'll put that on somebody else, right? Like, we would rather you focus on this stuff so we don't have any mental errors, you know, over here doing that. So, like, I think there's this balance with that stuff where you're trying to figure out, like, all right, like, we don't need every receiver, you know, that we want playing cramping. You know, at the same time, we, you know, also don't want, you know, to put too much on a young player where he's, you know, making mistakes. And so, look, you play more guys. You give guys opportunities to step up. And, you know, like, if you look at the stack book, I think that, like, here's a good example. Kansas City will play a bunch of guys, bunch of different personnel groupings. I think Mahomes targeted or completed passes to 10 guys, maybe targeted 11 guys, something like that. Like, Ryan Tannehill targeted 10 players. Like, that really should be a very good thing, you know, that the ball is being spread around. You're not so dependent on somebody. But, look, the flip side of it, D-Mace, is exactly what you're talking about, which is, all right, well, like, the other guys that are in there, you know, they can't be pedestrian. Like, they need to be able to make plays as well.
Now, what did you see from Ryan? Because I saw a guy that seemed more poised. I saw a guy that seemed more under control, a guy that knew where he wanted to throw the football. He had, like, I think he had 3 drops this past game. Those are not his fault. He put it right on the receivers, and they dropped the ball. But I just saw a guy that looked nothing like the guy I saw in Cincinnati.
Yeah, look, I agree. Like, you look at the stat line, it's good, 20 of 33, you know, over 260, 2 touchdowns, no picks.
And he wasn't perfect, Tim. I'm not saying he was.
No, he wasn't perfect. But, like, you know, I will say, too, like, you know, watching all the games this week, it's like, oh, here's a good one. Like, look, I think Tua was better than he, you know, was in the past. But, like, he kind of faded down the stretch and, like, you know, wasn't playing, you know, great. Joe Burrow, by the way, like, Joe Burrow, while he, you know, got things going late, like, he was really bad early in that football game. Like, really bad, you know. So Mac Jones, another one, like, who did not play well at all. So I just think that, you know, like, I think Ryan's a good player. I think that Cincinnati, you know, based on the last 2 years plus, you know, is a bit of an outlier for him than, hey, who he is. And so I do think that, like, if you're a Titans fan, it was good to see a quarterback that looked like he was confident, decisive, had command, was making good decisions. And so, look, I think that's a good thing rather than it being like, I don't know if you guys remember, like Jake Delhomme had a postseason meltdown and then like was never the same after that. You know, like that apparently has not happened to Ryan Tannehill, and that's a good thing if you're a Titans fan.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, and Tim, I didn't see the whole game, but I was watching some of the Colts-Texans, and the game ends in a tie. But what I found interesting was that the Texans were about one or two first downs away from winning the game 20-3. Like they were in total control of the game. The Colts mm-hmm. had to rally just to get it to overtime. What was your assessment of the Colts in Week 1 with the Matt Ryan show?
Yeah, I thought that you know, at times the Colts were running the ball well, but then they had like brutal turnovers. You know, Matt Ryan's trying to throw a little like flip screen, and ball gets batted in the air and intercepted, and you know, they just looked sloppy, and that was a little surprising for me, you know, considering he did play in the preseason. So yeah, I like that to me was probably the more like, listen, you know, the Titans lost at home to the Giants. I think the more surprising outcome is that the Colts weren't able to beat the Texans, you know, a division opponent, and you know, what could end up being, you know, a really, you know, important, you know, game when we look back and start counting wins, you know, at the end of the season. Look, I also thought it was interesting, you know, I don't know if you saw the end of that game, really, that, you know, Lovie Smith basically was like, yep, we're not going to win, and so we're just going to go ahead and play for the tie.
They did. They punted the ball with, what, 30, 20-something seconds left? From somewhere close
basically
to the middle of the field,
just eliminating the opportunity for you know, the Colts to win the game.
It was interesting that was going down at the same time that the wacky overtime was happening in Cincinnati. But it does bring to mind something we've talked about a lot: is that with the format the way it is, with only 10 minutes, you're going to get more ties with overtime games because the clock mm-hmm. becomes a factor.
Yeah, and I think that it's probably unusual for it to go down the way the Cincinnati one did. I mean, listen, I think Ja'Marr Chase is in, which would have, you know, early when they got stopped on the goal line, which would have put them ahead, I think, 21-20, and then, you know, now you're not even, you know, thinking about heading into overtime. And then the missed kicks, obviously, backup snapper in the game. You know, there were some really weird things in that game, whereas, you know, when you look at the Texans-Colts game, it was just like, this is just bad offense here. And then, you know, the Colts do miss a kick. But, you know, that to me was definitely one of those scenarios of, hey, bad offense, and we're running out of time. And now a team has decided to get so conservative that they're playing for the tie, you know, essentially making it inevitable that that's happening.
Before we let you go quickly, any early impressions of Jacksonville?
Yeah, surprised Trevor struggled as much as he did. I do know that that is a good defense that Washington has. Like I was a little disappointed in Trevor that he continued to kind of make some mistakes that, like, it's like, man, that's a bad mistake. You know, the interception he throws at the end of the game when they really, I think they're down 4 or 6, I forget at that point. I'm surprised that he's still doing that, and would be surprised if Doug Peterson isn't able to kind of coach that out of him, because it's really not something I saw from him in college.
Tim, I'll say this too, as the resident Cowboys fan here on the show, I don't know what you got left in the arm, but you know, we'll. Anything at this point would be great with that going down. I don't know if you or Matthew would be interested in one more shot at it, but just throwing that out there.
We are not the guy. You know who the guy is there? Mason Rudolph. You know, I've seen the reports of 4-6, 6-8, you know, whatever it may be. I think if you're talking about around 6 weeks, maybe more, that's one of the worst backup quarterback situations in the league, and they should reach out to Mason Rudolph.
So you would say Mason Rudolph over Jimmy G?
I don't think the Niners are going to move on from Jimmy G. Like, the way they ran Trey Lance, like, that's more Cam Newton type offense. Like, I think there's a chance he misses games if they, and I know the weather was bad there. That might have been part of it, but I'm not sure they can move from Jimmy G, and I think it'll cost a lot.
Well, Tim, appreciate it as always. We'll do it again next week.
All right, see you guys.
Yep. Tim Hasselbeck, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and BetUS.com. Cash in on all your favorites. Just sign up at BetUS.com. Use the promo code 1025 for up to 200% sign-on bonus. We'll come back and discuss some of the things you heard. We'll also get into some college football. It was a big weekend in college football, and we've been so focused on the Titans that we haven't really talked about that much. Clark Lee going to join us at 1:30. The Vanderbilt football coach, Mitch Light, before that at 1. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 106.3, The Game.